CliffCentral.com.
Little stupid ass, I ain't fucking with you.
I love this song. You know how many times you've wanted to say this to someone? Huh? Big Sean with I Don't Fuck With You. How does it go then?
You little stupid ass bitch.
I ain't fucking with you.
Yeah. Oh, so you've really wanted to say that to someone. Like, really?
No, actually, there are not that many occasions. But wouldn't it be nice to pull that out every now and then?
Yeah.
You know, there's... Which TV show was it that they used to... It started with Ally McBeal, I think, where she would suddenly hear a song and she'd see a situation in her head, uh-huh. and it would play out with the song in the show. Like it was real, but it was in her head. And then they started doing that with the same director on Boston Legal. But I think they also did it on Glee.
Oh, no, but wasn't Glee like a full-out...
Yeah,
it was
like
that
a
show.
It was a whole musical.
Oh, it's such an annoying show.
Glee was like a story, and then someone would say a word that sparks a song, and then that all break out into song.
It's like, like white Bollywood. That's what Glee is.
Okay.
Western Bollywood, I'm telling you now.
Yeah, you are right.
So Flax says he was so tired yesterday when he left his ATM card in the ATM that he recorded this voice note. Now, where are you when you're recording this?
I'm in my car.
Okay, and you said you're really tired, so you're not even making sense.
I was exhausted yesterday.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. I just didn't sleep the night before.
Okay, because you're excited about your trip,
yeah.
Obviously. All right, here it is.
So I was just at the shopping center now, and my credit card got swallowed by the ATM because I left it in the ATM. So I legit had no form of money, and I still had a parking ticket to pay for. And I had R3 in my pocket, and I knew that the parking ticket is usually round about R5. And I was stressing, how am I going to afford this parking ticket? When I get there, I'm going to have to ask the first person I see for some money because I need about R2 because I know it's R5. As I pull up to the parking machine, I put my ticket in, hoping for the best that it's less than R5. And I look down, and on this counter of the parking machine is R2.
Huh.
So that R2 and my R5 equals, I mean that R2 and my R3 equals R5. I'm like, this is a message from God. He's chosen me to direct this message at. I could possibly be the chosen one of God's prophets.
You could be.
And I was flabbergasted. I stood there in silence for about a minute thinking, why now? Why is this R2 there? And I put my parking ticket in, and it came to R3.
Ha!
So I thought,
even
this
another
is obviously a sign from God to carry on the prophet's message further. Take this R2 and give it to someone who will need it, and carry on that tradition of God of giving. And I gave that R2 to a petrol attendant, and he said he really needed it. He had to pay for his studies, and every cent counts. And just like that, you pay things forward. God gives you signs. You become a prophet. You follow out God's ways of living and everything that he wants. And you receive everything you need in life through that.
Oh.
And that's my message for today.
Wow, listen to you. Being all philosophical and positive and motivational. You should join the guys on Unplugged and In Charge today.
I was really, really tired. I think I was even hallucinating yesterday.
Well, you thought God had chosen you especially because you found R2. God had chosen you. Look at this. There's color coordination going on. Pashida, Mabali, and Justice are all in black and red. I think they're all EFF supporters. Which means that they've got lots to celebrate today because the EFF did very well to distance themselves from any ideological inconsistencies. They did very well to position themselves as being the kingmakers without actually having to commit to anything. And clever move, they also made sure that they couldn't be blamed for anything. I think sit at this one, that microphone is flaccid. Actually, come and sit here, Justice. We're moving you around a little bit. So really, Justice, Pashida, and Mabali all wearing the same colors today. So although Justice and Mabali are more on a burgundy tip than red, and Pashida's on the red. D.A. Michael Flax in blue. And I suppose I'm in blue too, so
yeah,
I'm also
well,
DA.
There you go.
Well, you see, we've all revealed ourselves yeah. now. Folks, there's nothing else to know. Now you know our political affiliations.
You're him and Mashaba.
How unpopular is
your blackness.
How unpopular is he in the EFF? They don't like capitalists at all. All right, before we get into Justice Malala, I just want to play you a clip of Julius on Jeremy Maggs' show yesterday on ENCA. So remember, Jeremy Maggs is that white-haired guy who does the news, and he seems to have a weight problem at the moment, but he may be working on it. And here is an interview he did with Julius, who has no weight problem at the moment.
So he
and no white hair on his head.
What? Julius? I mean, I want his dietitian. I mean, yeah. This guy.
He says it's easy. First of all, he credits his wife. Hmm. Says she's very strict with him. No sugar. No fizzy drinks. And he says he exercises every day.
Wow.
So that's the thing. He keeps it simple. Here's Jeremy Maggs, and then we'll get into the burning platform with Justice Malala. Everyone's excited about today because there's a lot that Justice can help us to understand. That is next. Here's Jeremy with Malema.
So what then is behind the EFF's plan of action following this afternoon's announcement that they're not going to enter into coalition with any political party? Joining us now on Newsnight is the party's leader, Julius Malema. Mr. Malema, good evening to you, and thank you very much for joining us. Many people tonight are saying that this is a political masterstroke as far as your party is concerned. Was this a difficult decision to reach not to go into coalition, given that all political parties ultimately want to get their hands on the lever of power?
Well, it was not that difficult because we knew very well that we can't go into a coalition with the ANC, and we knew very well that it was going to be difficult to go into a coalition with the DA because there is a serious fundamental differences on ideological issues. And it was difficult when we were speaking to the Gauteng leadership of the ANC, because that's the most credible leadership. They have not done anything wrong. But they have since said they are taking a collective responsibility for the mess that happened in this country, and therefore they shall be punished collectively. But if we're dealing with Gauteng alone, without any interference, if they were a federal type of an organization, it was going to be easy to go into a coalition with the ANC in Gauteng. But the problem is that national leadership, which is in control of everything.
Within your own party, how much debate was there around this particular issue? Was it fairly universal in reaching a decision?
Well, we had the first meeting and we did a secret vote. And then majority said we must abstain. And then 9 said DA, and then 7 said the ANC. And then we had a second meeting where this final decision was taken that if we abstain, we'll look like we are indecisive and we don't know what we stand for. And therefore, we thought we needed to take a stand. And if we abstain, we'll also be helping the ANC to come back through a back door. And that is, you know, against the wish of the people, because our people, to remove a sitting government shouldn't be easy. If they do that, it means this government has done something terribly wrong. And therefore, you can't, even when the people say, we're so offended, and do not help them to remove this government from.
Is that's Julius Malema talking about his party's stance yesterday. But to help us figure out exactly what's going on here, it is always useful to have, and we're very lucky to have every week, the expert analysis of Justice Malala.
Burning platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
All right, good morning, Justice. How are you?
It's all good. It's happy days, these.
It is, huh? It feels like there's a bit of a change. Like when you see when you see someone other than the obvious person standing up and taking a leadership position and making nuanced decisions, it shows a maturity of our politics. It shows a colorful new layer that's been inserted into provincial, local, municipal leadership. I think this is a good time.
I think it's a good time. I think, you know, there'll be bumps ahead, sure, but I think it's a great time. I mean, can you? I tweeted this last night, and I think it's because it's well, I said it, so I'll repeat it. But I like, for the first time, you know, the ANC has been such a central part of my life, your life, our lives. The ANC hasn't been a spectator in the unfolding of our history. But this week, the ANC has been, yesterday, nowhere to be found. Since shame. That press conference on Sunday,
I heard Guede was on TV last night, but no one watched.
No, I don't think anyone pretty much cared, because he and the ANC in Tshwane, in particular, in these big metros, they are also ran. They are, you've had your chance, now someone else, and that's the DA and the EFF, are making the call. So the most anticipated moments yesterday were the EFF press conference, and you know, you've got to give it to those guys. When they make a spectacle, they make a spectacle.
I mean, having it, it's Latini.
You know, just with that background, with the symbolism of it, the optics of it. Just a day after you come back from Marikana, where you say, you know, we are there with the suffering people, with the people who are victims in this case. It's powerful. And so I have to say, it excites me about how power plays over the next few years, and how we get, in just under 3 years, 31 months or so, we'll be having another election, a national election. And I think a ball is rolling here, and it's a change is going to come.
So, Justice, you mentioned that the ANC is, for the first time in about 22 years of South Africa's history, not the most important player, that it is a spectator to history. Let's start with Marikana, which is, I know, something that you and many of our listeners and I feel was a watershed moment. It was commemorated on Tuesday, which was the day 4 years ago that the Marikana massacre took place. Since then, we still don't have anyone in prison. We still don't have anyone who's accepted total responsibility for this. We have government ministers who have been shifted from portfolio to portfolio to absolve them of any responsibility in this respect. And poor Ria Piecha hung out to dry, as if it was all her fault. I mean, the people of Marikana, nothing has changed. The EFF donated R1 million to them the other day. And the EFF took a leading role in running the commemorations around that Marikana massacre, yeah, and left the ANC out in the cold.
And the ANC, crucially, the ANC didn't say, let's stop and reflect. Let's stop and say, what are we about as the ANC, and how can we show empathy, show brotherhood and sisterhood with these people who have suffered so much. On our watch, people who come from the very heart of what used to be ANC country in the Eastern Cape, in those rural areas, very poor people. And the ANC hasn't essentially lifted a finger. First it was, oh, you know what, we'll have a commission of inquiries. Falam is set up, and it's done and dusted. And as you say rightly, Ria Piecha is left holding the can. And we'll see what her fitness to office inquiry ends up in. We're expecting the report to come out sometime in August.
But now, it almost seems to me that there isn't any room in the ANC for them to acknowledge fault. Like, even this collective responsibility around the election results seems to me to be almost sort of a, well, you can't put us all in jail, so let's all take the blame. It's like Donald Trump, I hate to say. You know, Donald Trump can't see any fault in himself. He's a complete narcissist.
It's gang mentality, basically, that no, we're just going to shut down and protect everyone. No one takes personal responsibility. You know, let's just go back to the day in 2012. Now, there were 10 people killed before August 16, that fateful afternoon on that copy. 10 people killed. None of them. Some killed in all sorts of things. The trade unionists were not angels. There was violence. 10 people killed. Two policemen, two Simang security, two members of trade unions, and others. Those crimes still haven't been solved. Then on the afternoon, with the incredible, amazing, clear footage that you can see, not a single person has been arrested or convicted or even taken to trial. Then you say afterwards, trade unionists, other people have died subsequent to that. Not a single thing has been done. That is a failure of policing. It's a failure of commitment. Crucially, this is where the ANC has failed. The ANC doesn't have political will to make tough decisions. Take from the economic front, where you say people are becoming more and more unemployed in your under, on your watch, mm-hmm. from 20% unemployment to 26-27% unemployment.
Growth has slowed,
all that. You need to take tough decisions.
Irresponsible decisions that are made have a terrible negative effect on the economy, like the removal of the finance minister, which we still haven't recovered from.
Exactly. So that's the first thing. It's where is the top person who will say, sorry, man, you need to go back. We need results here. I still don't understand why Nomgcobo Jiba arrested and charged 200 mine workers for the murder of their own comrades back in 2012. That's the only action that has been taken so far. And so then that was a nonsense of a charge.
You know what it reminds me of? You remember those scenes in the westerns where the bad guy would walk into town, yeah. and then everyone would hide behind the buildings, and the tumbleweed would blow through the middle of the town.
Yes.
And everyone would be hiding away because they knew a fight was coming, but they didn't want to. That's it. Bah, bah, bah. And Figile Mbalula arrived back from Brazil this morning, or it could have been late last night. It was late last night. And this is what he tweeted, and it kind of gives you an idea of how desolate the landscape is inside the ANC. This is the minister's tweet. Just arrived from Brazil, to the usual pollution and noise. Let's accept our fate. # coalition talks. Isn't that just depressing?
This is a guy who's meant to be...
He's just got back from the Olympics where Wade Fanikerk and Kasta Semenya are doing us proud, and yeah. this is what he has to say?
What is he saying? I'm not sure what he's saying. It's a bit vague. What's the pollution and noise? Us complaining or the pollution and noise in the ANC?
God forbid the people of this country should not be screaming and shouting and hollering about how great the ANC is.
Okay, so everything isn't
praise is pollution and noise.
Oh, okay.
Am I reading him right?
That's about right. But he's been on a moaning... Because
he and Nomvula were in charge of the election campaign, yeah. which has been a spectacular failure.
Absolute
failure. Despite invoking the use of Mabala noise.
Anyway, 1 billion rand later.
Yeah, and nothing to show for it.
So I think, you know, on the Marikana issue, so that's the mechanics of what happened. The law didn't even run its course. And that is in itself so shameful. So terribly, terribly horrific for the rule of law in South Africa. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, you know, I've thought a lot about that. Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula is the only ANC leader in 4 years who actually went there and said, you know what, I'm sorry, we are sorry. She's the only one.
And the fact that we remember it means it meant a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was the first admission that there was something wrong.
There was something wrong. And to have the ability to say that, to do that, was fantastic and amazing in itself. And for all her faults and all, you know, picking up people in foreign countries in the government jets in shady ways. Mm. Yeah, there's all that. But here's the thing. Where is the president of South Africa, on whose watch 34 people were mowed down in 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes? Where is he when you commemorate something like this? Why does it have to be Julius Malema and Musi Maimane? Musi Maimane tweeted a picture of himself with the widow of the Mambushi's wife, the man in the green blanket. Where are the people who are leading us when the real you know, many administrations, we like pointing at the apartheid regime and, you know, how it killed kids in Soweto, how it detained 16,000 kids in 1986, all these statistics. And we'd say, not when we come to power, not in our name, but this, you know, Marikana just shows up something so terribly
rotten.
Exactly, with this administration and what it stands for. It's just ordinary people. So let's cut it down. The ANC, Julius Malema stands there yesterday and says, you know what, Herman Mashaba, we can't work with him because he hates himself, he hates black people, da-da-da, and so forth and so forth. You know what, I don't particularly agree with that. I think it's dirty politics. But here's one thing about Marikana. Those people were poor, they were black, they have no power, no agency, and that is why we can forget about them all year, and the ANC can ignore them for 4 years because no one is standing up for them except Darling Mpofu and maybe Julius Malema once in a while. And you know what? That is just a terrible thing.
It's Joseph an indictment. Matuidi.
And Joseph Matuidi. You know, but it's an indictment on the sitting president, his whole cabinet, who on Tuesday absolutely were nowhere to be found, okay? They were taking pictures of themselves about to go into yet another 4 day lekhotla to talk
about nothing because they didn't admit to anything.
Well, they don't implement anything.
Nobody's
that comes
fault.
Out of there anyway.
We fail and fail and fail again, but nobody has to blame.
So when Mandela used to say this, and in his first speech in 1994 in Parliament, he said, "This state will be about the woman in Khayelitsha, the child in Bontheyevil." This is not what this administration is about. And, you know, there are so many things, but this is an indictment on this state. How can we be like this? How can we not have brought some justice to those people? And then you talk about just physical things. The state is supposed to have paid compensation to all those mine workers as families.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Not a cent has been
Four
transferred.
4 years later, many of them may already be dead and have no kind of living retribution.
What exactly do people believe that those families have been living on? Because if there are, for every mine worker, there are 10 people, at least, just standing behind him, and that money goes back to somewhere in the Eastern Cape or Limpopo or wherever, and that's the wife, that's the mother, that's the son, that's the daughter, there's a whole long list. Those people haven't had someone, a livelihood among them. It's atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious.
But if you were in the ANC Lekhotla on the weekend, last weekend, you wouldn't have thought you were in the same country that just 2 days later was mourning Marikana for 4 years on. You would think, everything's fine. We're all okay. High fives all round. We're still in power. What happened at that Lekhotla? Because it seems that here is an opportunity for the ANC to change course, to fix things, to do all the things that ANC supporters would love them to do. But instead, because everyone's beholden and everyone is the slave to one man, we're not going to go that way.
I think the ANC needs to look at its own structures and say, how did we get to a point where we can have essentially not an honest assessment of our own faults? And that's because the ANC as an organization is big, it's wide, it's a whale of a thing, but its head, its control mechanisms is the National Executive Committee. And that National Executive Committee is dominated by President Zuma, it's dominated by people, the so-called Premier League, it's dominated by people who are a disgrace to the struggle for women equality, like Batabile Dlamini. And so for them, it's Jacob Zuma's going nowhere. He protects my interests and my little coterie's interests. And so, you know what? We're going to just continue to keep him in power. So that was a beautiful, I wish I'd taken a picture of it. But the Sowetan had a poster, one of these street poll posters, and it said, ANC leader scared of Zuma? And I don't think anything more profound has been written about the African National Congress than that poster. Essentially, people went into that meeting and said, Yabas, Yabas, Yabas. Not a single one actually said, what went wrong here and how do we fix it? No sense of consequence, no sense of responsibility. So I wasn't surprised that Jacob Zuma stayed. And I think, don't be surprised, Jacob Zuma is going to stay, in my view, until December next year.
You said so. We all owe you money if that doesn't happen.
You know, I think Cyril Ramaphosa and all the other guys, they're waiting for Jacob Zuma to say, oh, Cyril, you can get the job.
Or to have a stroke. I mean, God alone knows what their plan is, because it doesn't sound like much of a plan. Can I point out something here? Jane Sitole says to me this morning, almost 430 billion rand, by her calculation of the metro budgets, is now effectively removed from ANC control for the next 3 years.
If Johannesburg comes in, and if the issue that the EFF has put in front of us, the Mashaba issue, is resolved, then certainly, I'm not sure if it's 430, but that sounds about right. Because you've got Tshwane at about 35, I think Joburg at about 50. Mm-hmm. There's Nelson Mandela Bay, there's the city of Cape Town already gone. All the small Anyanas. So her point is well made. And the point about it is that if you say you're running the economic leader of the continent, and that's South Africa, and you've lost the city of Johannesburg, the administrative capital, Pretoria, the parliamentary capital, Cape Town, a major tourist and industrial hub, Nelson Mandela Bay. What exactly are you running? Are you happy to run Smolanyana Mahikeng there? And
the whole of Mpumalanga.
There's always Mbombela. Mm-hmm. You know, but basically, the ANC has been, cut it whichever way, the biggest city budgets on this continent are now being run by the opposition in South Africa. So if I'm Zambian and I arrive for my Christmas shopping at Sandton City,
mm-hmm.
You're coming to DA country now if Mashaba takes over, or if the DA, whatever iteration, takes over. It's going to be a different political landscape. And the ANC, with its head in the sand like this, is showing... It's incredible that it's saying, after 104 years, we're not even going to put up a fight. We're going to go into the 2019 election with the hangover from Jacob Zuma still all over us. And I don't know, whoever succeeds Jacob Zuma as ANC president will be able to get rid of the corruption, the patronage networks, and so forth and so forth.
Well, here are a couple of questions, and then I want to just turn our attention back to Tshwane, which deserves a second look. Mandla says, Justice, what do these elections really mean? What day-to-day changes will I experience? I live in Sandton. My rubbish is always collected. Traffic lights are never a problem for me. At home, it's 60% solar-powered. So for Mandla, how much will change?
For Mandla, not too much will change, because Mandla is in a very privileged area. But Mandla must think about the symbolism of the press conferences yesterday. The DA press conference was held in Sandton, where he lives, and there was only one problem, and it was that Bantu Holomisa was caught in traffic and didn't make it there on time. But Pakstau has done brilliantly for people like Mandla, people like myself, where, you know, we live in areas where there's bike lanes and so forth.
Yeah,
and so
how very 21st century.
How fantastic. So there are things that Pakstau has done and other administrators in other parts of the country have done that will continue the fantastic infrastructure and so forth that we have. What a DA government, and I think a DA government with some support from the EFF, will be able to do is to cast its eye a little bit across the M1 to Alexandra Township, where the EFF held its press conference above Stuttgart yesterday. And I think that's what's needed to begin to grow together, to begin to make the move upwards, not just about parts of Johannesburg, but about all parts of Johannesburg. I think the symbolism of Alexandra Township is massive, and it needs to be. There's an exhibition that's going around now. I can't remember where it's held. Where this photographer took a drone and flew over the cities, whether it's Cape Town with say Hout Bay and Imizamoyetu, Sandton and Alexandra Township, and the powerful imagery you see there of this beautiful suburb right next to
dusty packed
tin shack, yeah. packed informal settlement. And I think that's where we need to start saying, what are we doing here? How are we doing integrating these things?
Well, you're only ever counted as a civilized society if the weakest and the poorest among you is upgraded.
Indeed.
You're as good as your worst member.
Yeah.
You know, you can only move as fast as the slowest person in your crowd.
And I think that hopefully the fact that the DA is going to struggle to pass a budget without the support of the DA, of the EFF, means that the DA will have to soften its outlook
right
towards Diepsloot and so forth, and say, we are going to do something meaningful and hard and tough about these communities. So,
but
I think
we also have to acknowledge that the likelihood of something good happening for Diepsloot is improved when the DA and EFF, who have political will to make change, because that's the only ticket they have to win the next election.
If they don't do it, they know that they're on a hiding to nothing.
Whereas the ANC has shown already that they don't care.
The ANC always believe that we will always get the endorsement of people. And so the DA and the EFF will want to show that, no, look what we can do for you. And I think that will be the narrative for the next 4 years, 5 years, that we can do what we did in Cape Town. It's not always the right example, but we can do what we are achieving in the Western Cape here in Gauteng. And that's a powerful message for the DA. But I think what will change really for Mandla, in my view, it's...
Mandla's just sent a comment to say that's the longest answer to his question he's ever heard. But of course,
I'm not finished yet, Mandla. I'm still on the ball. But I think for Mandla, the key is to also say, you know, for a long time, in the city of Joburg, and you want to talk about the city of Tshwane, which I'm even better familiar with, the idea of what it takes to build something. So I'll tell you, I go to a small park in the city of Joburg, and that park needed a car park.
Mm.
Now that you don't need much, you just need to designate the area, and people can, you know, maybe do stuff. But what I saw was corruption on a grand scale just from that building of that park. And it was, things were put up that were not necessary for the park.
Stadium lighting?
It was like stadium light. That sort of thing. It was, why do you need that?
Because someone's friend was in the business of providing lighting, and this was a way for him to get a tender.
So the key thing here is that actually what we could have saved in building that car park for that park went haywire. People just kept on spending money. And for me, there are many, many bits and bobs of corruption going on, and I hope it will come to an end where that money could have gone. You know, one of the things in Soweto, one of the things that Amos Masondo achieved as mayor of Johannesburg was to tar virtually all parts of Soweto. It went on, I think it was under parks. So there were parks built in Soweto, and, you know, the little jungle gyms on in places and things. And that's amazing. That's fantastic. That's great. The money that was spent on that, in fact, unfinished car park in the park that I go to, could have gone to building more of those in places where they are needed.
And I don't think even capitalists like Herman Mashaba would have a problem with the poor being taken care of first.
Exactly.
And then all the other stuff done.
So, quite frankly, I'd like to see the corruption taken out. Part of the problem in the city of Joburg is that lots of little suppliers, people who do one or other things, also getting paid late and things like that. Mm. That needs to come to an end, quite frankly. So I think an efficient administration will hopefully be coming to the fore. I'm sometimes a bit of a cynic, but for Mandla, if he does business, for example, with the city of Joburg, hopefully he'll see his check come through before he's liquidated.
And it might even be issued by Floyd Shivambu, for all you know.
No, I don't think they're going to go there. It will be a DA administration, not a...
All right, Justice, your hometown and mine is Tshwane, Pretoria, right?
Yeah.
Now, there was a situation just 2.5 months ago where people were burning things down, entrances to the two major townships were blocked, there was violence, there were some people hurt, there were some clinics and schools that were damaged. A lot of destruction, wanton destruction, for the purpose of installing a certain ANC candidate over another. In the end, it's all for naught, because Togo Didiza is not the mayor, and she won't be the mayor, and neither will Josienso Ramakgopa. So we've got a pointless exercise on the part of ANC insiders trying to install somebody who wasn't going to win anyway.
Yeah. I'd like to take up that point. It's a powerful point. The whole thing of what happened in Tshwane and three people dying and all that destruction, it's not about the people of Tshwane at all. And this is where I stop and say, where are the law enforcement agencies? Because a lot of Nyaope smoking kids were arrested and, you know, oh, we got them and so forth. And the kingpins, the people who met at the hotel has been named in Tshwane and said, let's do this thing, are still walking around scot-free. The people who organized that, and let's not forget what this was about. You know, you guys, over the past few weeks, some of us have been going to the Tshwane Exhibition Center. The old Pretoria show. The Tshwane Exhibition Center is where the ANC held a meeting to announce that Sputla and Mapiti Matsena are not going to be the mayoral candidates. We're giving you Togo Didiza. That day, ANC members are in the hall, others are outside. One of them shoots the other one.
Yeah.
Boom, dead.
Gangsterism.
Man down. Now, immediately afterwards, on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this is when the destruction starts happening. And it's one ANC faction in Tshwane against another ANC faction in Tshwane. One built around Sputla Ramakgopa, another built around Mapiti Matsena. Both of them essentially going at each other, and then state resources being used to tell people that they're bringing you the Zulu woman, okay? This is tribalism of the worst kind.
Yeah.
And so you have poor people being mobilized to go and destroy things because allegedly, oh, Sputla Wi-Fi is going to be taken away from you. Why would it be taken away from people, whether it's the ANC itself that states or it's the DA that comes in? The DA has the same kind of Wi-Fi being rolled out in the city of Cape Town because they loved what Sputla Ramakgopa had done. So, this was about the ANC and its divisions, and I haven't seen anyone stop and say what happened here. So all that stuff that happened in that week on June was so horrific, so bad, and nothing's been done about it. No consequence, once again. But Solim Simanga will be sworn in. Julius Malema says he likes him.
That one.
We like that one. He doesn't change his accent.
He says, that one we like more than Musi, he says, because he's in the wrong party. He should be EFF.
You're going to love it. So so that one is going to be sworn in. The DA will raise a motion in council saying, I move for Mr. Msimanga to be mayor. There will be a seconded and from the EFF, and it will be done and dusted. And next week we'll have a new mayor in Tswane, and it will be Solim Simanga.
It's kind of embarrassing from a symbolic point of view that the capital city, the seat of the executive, is now run by a party other than the man who occupies the union building.
You know that expression that was doing the rounds. I don't know whether it was Musi Mamani or Phumzile Van Damme or whoever who came up with it, that Jacob Zuma will go for his weekends in an IFP-run municipality, go to make law in a DA-run municipality, and come and execute when he feels like it the law in a DA-run municipality in Tswane. So wherever he goes... And who knows, when he comes shopping in Sandton City, he might even be coming to a DA run. So I don't know. Someone came up with that line. It's quite funny, but it's so true, and it's very embarrassing for Jacob Zuma, I think. Solim Simanga, I think, will be interesting as mayor of Tswane. I think the DA might want to... You know, Julius Malema says we don't like this one, meaning Herman Mashaba. But quite frankly, I think there is merit, some merit, in talking about the Mashaba campaign and that fact that it wasn't a great campaign. No. Even yesterday in his interview with Jeremy Meigs, he didn't come across as a political player. He came across as a businessman who says, I'm going to transplant business solutions to government. And that's not a particularly bad thing, but it didn't quite feel authentic. Whereas Solim Simanga has been in the Tswane Council.
Dyed in the wool from Attridgeville. He's a real salt of the earth guy in Pretoria.
When that violence broke out, he wasn't just worried about the violence, he was worried that my mother is in Attridgeville near that Atlane Mall where it was all happening.
We spoke to him that morning, and he very much assumed a leadership position on that day.
I thought he really, he was there, he was saying, what's this about, let's not destroy our own infrastructure and so forth and so on. I thought he did pretty well for himself.
I bumped into him on Monday last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his I didn't even see the DA t-shirts. I was walking, and one of his aides said to me, "Ah, aren't you going to say hello to your new mayor?" And then I suddenly clicked, and I turned around and I went, "Oh my God, it's Sully!" And he was just doing like a bit of shopping, and he was out of the meetings for a moment. I think he just wanted to get some fresh air or something. And we had a very brief chat, and I said to him, "What's the first course of business? Are you going to be cleaning up and digging for dirt?" And he said, "No, look, there's work to be done. I want to obviously fix the things that have been done wrong." But he said, "If we spend too much time looking at that and looking backwards and trying to point fingers, we're not going to be able to build."
Yeah. Look, there will be some stuff that's on his desk. You know, that exorbitant electricity meter tender that's still out there, he's going to have to deal with that. There are lots of bits and pieces, hangovers from the past. But I think his vision has been interesting for me because it's a futuristic, look forward kind of vision. So I'm feeling like, actually, the DA needs to think through its mayoral candidates in the future, because Musi Maimane failed in the city of Johannesburg because he was wet behind the ears at the time in 2011. He'd just been transported in. I think he'd been in the DA very, very short time. And I think that's why he didn't ignite much excitement even then. I think that Herman Mashaba, Khalib Kachalia in Ekurhuleni, both of them didn't excite that much. I think the brand DA got 38% in Johannesburg, not Herman Mashaba.
In other words, they could have done a lot better if they'd picked a man of the soil.
I think if they'd taken someone who is DA, who had been building the brand for even just the past 2 years, I think the DA leader in Gauteng, I think it's John Moody, I think he should have thought through that candidacy a little bit, those two candidacies a little bit harder. Because think about it, even in Nelson Mandela Bay, you have this white guy, Athol Tollip, walking around saying, Molo CC, and is over better. You know, there's something, you can say whatever you like, and the ANC did some terrible things like holding a press conference with the farm workers from his family farm saying, yeah, they used to beat us up and whatever they did. You know, but whatever
what you did. What a slimy move.
Oh, it was a slimy move in the extreme, but hey, you know. But then, you know, the guy you're accusing of all this stands there in front of you in and starts saying, Wemfondeni, ndiyakuva. And, you know, it's like, if you're on the other side of the wall, you're saying, why are they accusing this Xhosa guy of all this stuff?
Now he's a Xhosa guy. He's not a white guy. He's not a Xhosa guy.
But he's dyed in the wool PE, you know?
He's dyed in the wool DA. He knows what they stand for. He can give you, you know, chapter and verse on all sorts of things about
the party. But he's a PE guy. And Solly is a Tshwane guy. And Herman Mashaba is a business guy.
Exactly. That's where it's coming from.
Herman Mashaba's line on poor people is that they just haven't worked hard enough yet.
And, that's a problem. Herman Mashaba's, one of the things that he didn't seem to get is the whole idea of the DA being premised on opportunity.
Yeah.
That it's not that they don't work hard enough. We haven't put the opportunities in front of them.
Yes.
So let's have an equal opportunity society so that even the hard workers among those poor people will be like,
like me, is what he's
black
saying.
Like me.
Black like me.
So
it's interesting that line is so useful at this time. I just want to go to Simba quickly. Simba, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Morning, Justice.
Hi, good morning, Simba.
Just wanted to ask you something.
Sure.
Given that the DA is obviously going to be running these metros if everything goes according to plan, are we not going to find the ANC using the media, which they obviously ran through Slaudi and all these other guys, to try and discredit the work that's being done? Because it's a danger for the ANC, for the DA to perform, even very little gains that they make within these next couple of years before the national election. So are we not going to find the ANC trying to, since they still run the national government, trying to use these public state enterprises to firstly dial down the work that's being done and put in subtle jabs, so that they say that, so that they, as the opposition in these large metros, are seen to be doing more than the DA.
Sure. Thanks, Simba. I think you're absolutely right. There is that danger. If you look at what's happening at the SABC, it's essentially the battle to control information. So don't show the protests we've been talking about in Tshwane because, well, it's destruction of government property. But actually, it was don't show the ANC in a bad light. So don't show Vuani because, well, the people of Vuani are saying this government, and that's the ANC government, is not coming to the party for us. So I think there is that danger. But I think the ANC itself is in turmoil. If you listen to what Jackson Mthembu has been saying about the communications ministry, about the SABC, in fact, he's won a major victory because this week Parliament is beginning a wide-ranging commission of inquiry into the SABC, how it's run and how it has been run and the problems there. And I think a lot will come out of it. I'm not a big believer that much will happen that will change. But I think it's a nice, good start. And might give people a window towards 2019 to be able to maneuver within the SABC. But, you know, the media is moving away from being controllable, if you will, by entities like the government communications ministry and so forth. While people are sitting there saying, yeah, the SABC must do this and do that, a lot more people are watching Mzansi Magic. Mm. A lot more people are listening to us right now on their mobile phones streaming as they go to work. So the attempt to clamp down on the media might work insofar as saying, I'm not going to advertise in the Sunday Times so that it's, you know, starved of advertising and money and has to fire Mzilika Zuafrika or some other journalist.
Mm.
But I think that the information, it's too little too late. Technology is making all sorts of information available to ordinary people. Yesterday I was on a plane flying in from Durban. The minute I landed, I started listening to Julius Malema on my mobile phone.
Right.
Without the SABC or
ICASA or anybody.
ICASA or anybody.
And I also think that Simba's point is very, very valid, but I think municipal and local elections and the municipal and local service delivery and government is more powerful than propaganda. If someone in Alex's life has not improved, there's no amount of propaganda on the SABC that's going to convince them to stick with the DA or the EFF. If their life does improve, there's no amount of propaganda in the opposite direction that will convince them to go with the ANC.
Yeah.
And I think for people, if you open the tap and there's water, and you switch on the light and there's light, and you have a house with solid walls, and you have a place to cook your food and a place to sleep, and you have an income, and that's all about local government
and some semblance of order in the way their lives are run in that ward, in that municipality. I think that will be a powerful message. So I think, look, you know what, Simba's point is valid, particularly because we've seen attempts to manipulate information before, and we're going to see more of it in the future. But I don't think. The people who are trying to be Big Brother are as sophisticated as all that in doing all these things.
Thank you, Justice. That's an extended version. Some mornings we have a lot to talk about. Some mornings we have more than a lot to talk about.
Can I just say one last thing?
Sure.
I think on the we need to now, you know, it's all nearly done and dusted, except for Johannesburg. We're going to have the DA running this and that, and the ANC running Ekurhuleni and so forth. But we are going to be tested, because if the EFF says, I'm supporting the DA in electing the mayor and the speaker and so forth, and they vote with them, the EFF is going to have to say, we only got 8% or 11% in this or other municipality. And at some point, they're going to have to agree to things that they don't like. Otherwise, they might collapse these municipalities, these governments. So they're going to have to compromise and say, we'll allow you to pass the thing because we don't have the mandate. You have the mandate. It's not a complete one, but we'll let it go.
Hmm.
But if, say, a budget is not passed for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months,
then we've got problems.
So I think it's a red flag about the maturity of those arrangements. Even where there's no arrangement, say, like, there's no arrangement between the EFF and the DA.
Hmm.
But that sort of common understanding is needed, or else we headed for some trouble.
Well,
and we could have elections being triggered in a year, in 2 years.
If the EFF's handling of this situation is any sign, that there is a nuance. There is an ability to find a middle ground.
Yeah.
There is an ability to keep their own political agenda on the national agenda, but yeah. also an ability to do what is required to change.
Yeah. And I think if that persists, that continues, then we'll be fine.
But and they'll grow their support if that continues.
If that, yeah.
If they're obstructive and people don't get services as a result, they'll be punished too, just like they said the ANC are punished.
Yeah. And I think people don't want the EFF to be a destructive force mm-hmm. because they will turn against it. But if they see it as a positive force, I think then they're on a good ticket to 2019.
Thank you, Justice Malala. The Burning Platform is brought to you by Nando's every Thursday around about 7 o'clock, and Justice will return next week for more. There's always lots to talk about, and if you have anything that you want to ask us, 0861-555-189, or you can message us and we'll add it to the agenda for next week.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
How to start your grate with Kellogg's and the Kelman 20.
Don't procrastinate. Do what you want to do and do it now.
Be as good as you can, but they can't actually ignore you.
Run your own race and stop comparing yourself to other people.
On your own pace, your own race, your own lane.
Love yourself enough to work on yourself and be honest with yourself.
The main thing is action every single day. Small attainable goals that will get you in the right direction.
Hashtag start your great.
When you're a CIO in a growing corporate, there's no just taking care of yourself and that's that. When you're a CIO, people see IT as a cost rather than a strategic investment. But we know you knew that. We know that between the successes and failures, the courage to continue is what counts. We also know that food is on other people's plates because of your job. The courage to grow is business. We've got the advisors, products and solutions that enable you to do so. MTN Business, a new world of business.
Not everyone who likes cars is a petrolhead. Some of us prefer the unmotoring side of cars. Yet we all spend so much time in these machines that they have become an extension of our personalities and reflect quite a bit about who we are and where we are in our life stages. On Auto Central, we understand this.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show. Or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour. Powered by Auto Trader.
CliffCentral.com.